Divrei Torah ani b'makam echad v'ashir b'makam acher. As Chazal comments, sometimes you have a topic that is briefly discussed in one place in the Torah Shel Peh, and it is expanded upon elsewhere. And that's true throughout Shas, as Chazal themselves comment, and it's true in multiple ways in our opening sugya. Our main focus in Elzman, Baruch Hashem, Elul of Shemitah, the Elul that was likras Rosh Hashanah Shel Motzei Shvi'is, when Shemitah Safim occurred, we had the chance to focus primarily on some of the sugyas of Shemitah Safim in the fourth parak of Gittin. And why Shemitah Safim, the fourth parak of Gittin? Because many of the Mishnais in the 4th and 5th Parakim of Gittin record a whole series of Takanas, Mimtei Tikkun Olam, different Dinim Drabanan that Chazal instituted to address some problem in society. It began with a Mishnah earlier in the 4th Parak that was Gittin related, and then that got the Mishnais started in a whole series across many different topics of Halacha, Takanas, Mimtei Tikkun Olam. So here you have six words in the fourth parak of Gittin, the Mishnah that appears in the Bar Olam Dalam Beis, Hillel Hiskin Prusbul Mepnei Tikkun Ha'olam. Hillel was Misakin Prusbul to fix a social problem. Divrei Torah Ani Makam Echad Vashir Makam Acher. Here it's a bit of an enigma. What does that mean? So the Gemara already, the very first thing the Gemara does, Gemara gets up to that line, Nalamed Vavav Aleph, is Gemara points out, well, there's a whole parak of Mishnayis about Shemitah's Ksafim, the last parak of Masechah Shavuos, the 10th parak of Masechah Shavuos, and the beginning and end of the parak deal with the Din D'oraisa of Shemitah's Ksafim. The middle of the parak deals with this Takana of Prusbul. And the Mishnayis there give you some more background that there is a Din D'oraisa Shemitah's Ksafim that appears in Parshas Pesukim and Parshas Re'e. Not all of Shemitah is agricultural. There's a financial aspect of Shemitah. The loans are canceled. Shemitah cancels outstanding loans. And the core, the center of the middle five prakim of the 10th parak of Shvi'is expands upon what's here a mere six words in Mishnah's Gittin. There is a din of Shemitah's Ksafim. The loans get canceled. And there was, as the Mishnah implies, there was a problem, and the solution was Prusbul. So what's the problem? So the Mishnah say that the problem is Mishnah and Shvi'is. The problem is people weren't making loans, which is a spiritual problem for the lenders. They're in violation. They saw, in addition to the mitzvahs asay of Shemitah's Ksafim, the mitzvahs losis and loyigos, that a Jew should not collect a loan that's been nishmat, that's been canceled by Shemitah. There's also another law of later in the Pesukim Re'eh. A Jew also should not in advance hesitate to make a loan because he's worried what's going to happen if Shemitah's going to cancel a loan. That's a great Nisayon. And the Hillel saw the Mishnah saying Shavuos, the people were falling prey to that Nisayon. And people were indeed not making those loans, which is a spiritual problem for the lenders in violation of the law of D'oraisa. It's a practical financial problem for borrowers. They didn't have access to credit when Shemitah got close. So Tetikin Ola, that's what the Gemara says later in these blot, the Prusbul, the Prusbul Yabuti. The Gemara says in the bottom of Lama Vavim Beis, top of Lama Zion Ralph, it means Prusbul means a solution for the bull and the boot, for the wealthy and the poor. Everyone was helped. That's a double Tikkun Olam. Hillel devised a mechanism that you could put into place right before Shemitah that would avoid, that would block your loan from the impact of Shemitah. You could Shemitah-proof your loan by executing a Prusbul in front of a Beis Din before the moment of Shemitah itself. Towards the end of the Shemitah year, we assume, most if not all Rishonim assume, the Shemitah Ksafim happens at the very last moment of Shemitah, right before Rosh Hashanah of Matzoy Shemitah. So some point before then, the lender executes a Prusbul in front of a Beis Din, then any loans that he's already made are now Shemitah-proofed. Sure. So that's what the Mishnah says in Gittin. Hill has improved with Tikkun Olam. That tells us the concept of Shmitz Ksafim, and it tells us there was some problem that arose as a result, and there was a need for a Tikkun. The Olam had a problem, and the Tikkun was Prusbel. So you have a whole blot and a half to discuss various aspects of Prusbel and various Mishnayos from drawn from the 10th paragraph of Shvi'is. We focus primarily on the opening Sugya. That's focused on a series of two questions and three answers. One, Gemara has a kasha, Gemara gives an answer, Gemara has a second kasha, and then the Gemara gives two answers. So the opening kasha was the whole notion of Hillel's Misak and Prisma of Teitika Olam. Very beautiful that there was a motivation, there was a need that the Din Rabbanan was addressing. So one of the ingredients you need in order to make a Din Rabbanan is there has to be valid cause. So there was valid cause. There also has to be valid authority to create that Din. The legislator, the Bezer making the Zera, has to be empowered. So the Gemara says, well, you have the right to make a new Isser. How do you have the right to undo a Din Daraisa? Min HaTorah Shmitzas Tzafim. Min HaTorah, the loan is gone. How does Hillel wave a magic wand and say, no, the loan is not gone? He's undoing the Din Daraisa. How does he have the right to undo the Din Daraisa? To which Abaye answers, it wasn't, you're right. He couldn't undo a Din Daraisa. He was not undoing a Din Daraisa. Shmita Bizman says only Drabbanan. Min HaTorah, there's no Shmita's Ksaf from Bizman Hazeh. The whole thing is only Xer Drab, only Takan Drabban to begin with. And he was Takan of Prisbal, all works within that Din Drabban. And we spent a little time thinking about that. A little bit of discussion around Shitosis. What does it mean that there's no Shmita Bizman Hazeh Min HaTorah, no Shmita's Ksaf from Bizman Hazeh Min HaTorah? Seems to be whether you read that into the Gemara or not, whether this is what the Gemara is saying directly or not, but both Rashi and Tosfos assume that means that there's no, since there's no Yovel Daraisa, that's widely assumed. Gemara and Erechim says there's only Yovel when you have Rov Yosheveha or Kol Yosheveha Aleha, and you know, the Jews all or predominantly live in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps also living by Shevet, so that already ceased. That already ceased during the end of the Bais Rishon period, probably. And then Shemitah appears to depend on Yovel. Okay, so Rabbi Thomas tweaks in terms of what exactly the history was. But certainly Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara says there's no Shemitah, there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitah. The whole Shemitah's Ksafim is Drabanan. That's the position of Yehuda HaNasi, Machlokas HaTanan. That's the position of Yehuda Hanasi. The Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is not Daraisa. There is no Shemitah Daraisa Bizman Hazeh. The whole existence of Shemitah, therefore, Bizman Hazeh is purely, merely Midrabanan. So we're absolutely obligated to keep Drabanans with the same reverence and enthusiasm we keep Daraisas, but sometimes the rules are going to be different. If it applies, it applies, and we keep it the Avu of Yira, but sometimes it doesn't apply. The Gemara says, if it's only Din Drabanan, then Hillel has the right to get under the hood and change some of the details. Daraisa, then he wouldn't touch it. So then the Gemara says, 1 second, now you're just shifting the question. You haven't really solved anything. First I was asking you, how do you have a Din Drabanan of Prusbel working against a Din Daraisa of Shmitz's Ksafim? So you tell me, no, Shmitz's Ksafim is Drabanan. So now I have the same problem one step over. How do you have Shmitz's Ksafim Drabanan? As I understand Prusbel, but now you told me that the Rabbanan Shmitz's Ksafim. That Din Drabanan is now problematic. How do you create a Din Drabanan Shmitz's Ksafim earlier than Hillel? How do they create that? Now Torah, I owe you money. Din Drabanan, I don't owe you money. How do they create? That's also a Din Drabanan that's undoing a Din Daraisa. To which Abaye and Rava each give an answer. Abaye said the way that they were able to create Shemitah's Ksafim, the whole notion of Shemitah's Ksafim Drabanan, to tell you that Minotaur, you have to pay your debts, because Minotaur, there's no Shemitah, and therefore you owe money, it's a Din Daraisa, you got to pay money that you owe. Chazal could come along and say, Midrabanan, if you went through a Shemitah Drabanan, now you don't have to pay your loans. I've been told you do have to pay your loans. So Abai says that was because they have the right to tell you to ignore din deraisa if it's the sheval tasa. While Rabba says no, it's because it's hefker bez and hefker. So they have two different explanations, Abai and Rabba, for what to the second kasha. What gave Chazal the power to create the very notion of a Shemitah's Ksaf and Drabbanon? What gave them the power to say, even though Minatari owe the money, Midrabbanon, don't pay? Either it's because not paying is Shaval Tasa, or not paying is based on Hefker, Bezen Hefker. Abai says Shaval Tasa, Rabbi says Hefker, Bezen Hefker. So, Divrei Torah, once again, Aniv Makamecha, Vashim Makamacher, not only the Gemara points out that the one line in Gittin is bringing us to the tip of the iceberg, the whole parak of Mishnayos and Shviyos, but if you recognize these lines, or you don't recognize them, but you look on the side, you see Emsaras Hashas tells you Yivamas Peites Obeis, you discover that what Abai and Rava said, that Heshev Al Tasa and Hefker Bez Hefker, respectively, those are not their chidushim. Those are both quotes from their common, one of their common rabbeim, Rabba, who said it in the context of a larger global sugya. Our sugya is very local and specific to the Takan Drabbanon of Prisbal, Takan Drabbanon then of Shemitah Tzav Midrabbanon. But the Gemara in Yivamas, that pay test and daf tzadi, the beginning of the 10th parak Yivamas, is engaged in a very overtly global called Targul de Kasugya of in general, do Chazal or don't Chazal have the right to be Oker Davar Minator? As the Machlok is there, earlier Amaram, Rav Chista and Rabba, can Chazal, we know that it's a Chiddush that Chazal has the right to create any Din Drabban at all, and that Chiddush is accepted. Question is, what are the bounds of that Chiddush? They definitely have the right to Aser that which is Mutter. Do they have the right to be Matir that which is Aser? Do they have the right to, or to Pater me from that which I'm mechuyev to do? They have the right to, when everything is neutral, they can make it aser. When everything is neutral, they can make it chiyev, right? They can say, midrabanan, you can't handle pens. Matar, you're good, midrabanan, you can't, on Shabbos. Or they could say, midrabanan, you're not mechuyev to wash your hands before you eat bread. Minatori not mechuyev, to wash hands before you eat bread. Midrabanan, you do. Minatori, you don't have to say brachas before you eat. Midrabanan, you do. Right? So when the things are neutral, they could create a new iser or a new chiyev. Could they do the opposite? If there's a chiyuv d'oraisa, they can say, don't worry about it. If there's an issa d'oraisa, they can say, we're making it mutter. Yesh koch b'yadcha malaka d'avra Torah, or ein koch b'yadcha malaka d'avra Torah. So that, you take a look, if you take a look in Yivamas Dav Pei Tes, the Gemara says, machlokas Rav Chista and Rabba. Rav Chista said, yes, yesh koch b'yadcha malaka d'avra Torah. Part of the chiddush ha-Torah that Chazal can legislate, din drabanan, they can even legislate against a din d'oraisa. Not only could they be mechayiv what was pater, they could also pat you from what would have been Torah rechayiv. Not only could they aser what used to be mutter, they could also be matir what used to be aser. That's the position of Chizda. Rabba says, no. What are you talking about? Ein koch b'acham laka dev matar. Which is what we usually assume, intuitively, like Rabba, that Chazal can't be matir in Isra. And that's also, by the way, the assumption of Sugya, in both kashas. Miyika, and the Gemara says they're Lashon Tema. Whoever heard of such an absurd thing? Miyika, me? Have you ever heard of this? It's like, Tema. But over the course of Daf Pei Tes and Daf Tzadi, Chista keeps backing Rabba into a corner. Well, how about this right? How about that? I have a Mishnah here, I have a Brisa here, a Mishnah here, a Brisa there. All these rise from Tanan that Yeshkach. Look at this Drabbanon. If you think about it, they're being okay. They made Stakhan Drabbanon, and now you're going to burn Truma, which means HaTorah is Tahar. You're not allowed to burn good Truma. But Tamei Drabbanon, now you're burning it. So that's a Chumra, but it's also a Kula. And so on and so forth. So Rabba keeps being backed into corners, to which he responds, well, I agree in certain cases. I agree in certain cases. So two of the cases, in other words, Rav Chista says, always yesh koch yarcha malacha d'avra Torah. Rabba says, generally ain't koch, but yesh koch in certain subcategories. One subcategory, he says on Daf Peites, is hefker bez hefker. Another subcategory, he says, on Daf Tzadi, is Sheval Tasa. He says, I agree to you, that Chazal can say what used to belong to me no longer belongs to me. That Chazal can do. And I agree to you that Chazal can tell me don't blow shofar on Shabbos. They can tell me midrabanan don't bring a carbon pesach. Midatari mechuyif bring a carbon pesach. Midrabanan don't. Midatari mechuyif to have sisna beke. Midrabanan don't. V'shev al tasa yesh koach b'lakar b'hefker b'ezn hefker yesh koach lakar b'shev al tasa. This is even Rabba agrees. Again, Rav Chisda says always yesh koach lakar. Rabba says no, not always, but in certain cases. Okay, now Rabba's two most famous talmidim, Abaye and Rava, they were talmidim of Rabba and Rav Yosef, who were peers. So Abaye is quoting one of Rabba's tirutzim, and Rava is quoting the other, another one of his tirutzim. So, number one, if you look at our sugya in the context of the sugya Yivamas, you realize they're not being mechadish this. Number one, you realize, okay, this is part of a larger world of ha'im yesh koach lak of Akira's davar min haTorah. The sugya is assuming like Rava, both in the kashas and the terutzim. Okay, so in terms of trying to figure out how do we paskin, the sugya and gittin seems to indicate paskin like Rabba against Rav Chisda. Okay, then also in terms of appreciating what's going on in the Shaka Pataria, so you gotta wonder, it raises a couple of questions. Abai and Rabba didn't come up, weren't mechadish. Either, neither Sheval Tasa nor Hefker and Hefker. They presumably hold a both. Each one holds a both. Because Rob already said both of them. So you got to wonder, number one, why didn't they give these answers to the first Kasha? Why they only come up with these answers in the second Kasha? That we got to later on in our discussion. And that led, and you remember, into Machloka's Rasha's Meshi. Rava was giving the answer to her question. Okay, and why did Abaye not? Okay. The other question, which we actually dealt with first in Shia, was just in terms of Abaye and Rava's answers to the second Kasha, they both hold the both Yesodos, presumably, because Rava said both of them. So why is Abaye Dafka choosing to say Sheval Tasa not Hefker and Hefker? Why is Rava choosing Dafka to say Hefker and Hefker and not Sheval Tasa? In other words, what could be the limitation? In other words, it sounds like presumably Abaye and Rava both hold at each Teretz, each Yesod. It's not that Rava doesn't hold the Yesh Koach Lakav Hashav Al Tasa. It's not that Abaye doesn't hold Yesh Koach Lakav Hashav Al Tasa. So then what's going on? You could have said that they each gave a different answer, both right. Okay, sometimes Rishon will say that. Or they both agree to Shav Al Tasa in concept, but maybe Abaye and Rava are arguing over whether it's relevant here. Maybe they both agree to Hefker Rez and Hefker in concept, but they're arguing over whether it's relevant here. So that led us into two fruitful areas of discussion. The first was the machlokas over nature Shaval Tasa. Whether or not one accepts Abaye's answer, the Shaval Tasa is at play specifically in the Din Drabanan of Shemitah's Ksaf and Midraban, Shemitah's Ksaf and Midraban, so that we suggested that might have to do with a machlokas harishonim about the nature of Akira Stavra Sheval Tasa.
We'll continue outside.
So one thing to point out is if you're thinking about the intersection of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah and Shmita's Kafin, so you would expect that the answers, the Yisrael answers to questions may lie either in understanding Akira's Davar Min HaTorah or understanding Shmita's Kafin. So where this took us is that the Machlokas of Rabbi's answer is over the nature of Shmita's Kafin, nature of Akira's Davar Min HaTorah. Over the Rabbi's answer is the nature of Shmita's Kafin. How'd that work? So Rav Chanan points out in the Sefer Yivamis, the Siman Yivar, that there seems to be a machlokas, number one, over how to define the what of Akira's Davar Sheval Tasa and the why of Akira's Davar Sheval Tasa. In terms of the what, there are two ways of defining what it is. Either Sheval Tasa means physically passive. Chazal can't tell me go eat a piece of bacon. That's an act. But they can tell me don't blow shofar. Passively don't blow shofar. That's one definition. The other definition Shavuot Pal says, not a question of physical passivity versus activity, but halach distinction between a vital assay as opposed to violation of the law. Chazal can tell me, don't fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, the mitzvah assay. They can't tell me, go violate the los assay, eating shofar. The vast majority of the time, there is no difference. The vast majority of the time, most mitzvahs are fulfilled actively, but usually the yivatla mitzvah is to be passive. Usually to violate lav is the active. Then once in a while, we notice that there are cases that fall in between. There are cases where you can violate a lav by being passive, and there are cases where you can yivatla asay by being active. And there we found machlokes rishonim consistently across both. Rechavim points out the first case. The first exceptional situation is when you're violating a law passively, a law shein bo ma'aseh. And so he pointed out that the Rashba talks about, a P. Rashba Rosh Hashanah seems to talk about violating Baal Tigra as a kum vaseh, even though you're not doing it. Physically passive, he assumes it's a kumbaseh. Rochan points out, you read the Rosh, we're solely careful, it seems to be assuming. While the Rosh in Masechas Nazir assumes that to delay your karbanos and passively violate Baal Ta'acher, the Rosh nonchalantly assumes is Sheval Ta'acher. So that's the machlokas over there, Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim. To point out, he only talks to Rosh and the Rosh, but many more Rishon, it seems to be a broad based. Machlokas Ashkenazim Sfaradim. Sfaradim think it's about passivity, and Ashkenazim think it's about machlokas is physically passive, physically active, and Sfaradim seem to think it's doing mitzvah versus avir. So you guys are going to have to run soon. So let's at least wrap up where we're at for now. We began just in terms of developing the what part of the machlokas. The machlokas over definition. The point out that. Can be the case in the other way as well. We found by in the world of Adelus, there was a situation where a person violates a mitzvah saseh by doing an action. And there, the Baalatosos and the Sfaradim are consistent. The Baalatosos think it has to do with physical activity versus physical passivity, while the Sfaradim think it has to do with mitzvah versus Adelus. The next step is to work out why. Why would each one definition make sense? What does that tell you? The two different definitions of what Shavuot Ta'aseh means are based on two different understandings of why Shavuot Ta'aseh is working. And that in turn is going to explain, circle back to our sugya, and explain perhaps why Abai and Rava are arguing over why Abai thinks it's Shavuot Ta'aseh and Rava thinks it's not. We'll wrap that up with Hashem and continue from there tomorrow.